Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Dan.
Happy birthday to all of us.
Happy birthday to everybody. Yeah. All the cancers. Cancer season.
No, I'm a Leo.
Happy Leo season. I don't know what's going on in the stars. Happy birthday, regardless of whatever you are.
Yeah, fuck all cancers. Leo season approaches.
Is it here? Are we here? It's Leo season?
Leo season approaches.
Jeff, I love our audience because when we ask them to do something, they do it.
Mm-hmm.
We ask them to bother our friend, the producer, Carter Got Wings.
Mm-hmm. And accuse him.
Yeah, accuse him.
Of being 4'11".
Because the truth is...
that he's 4'11".
He's 4'11". Yeah. So everyone went into his Instagram, everyone went onto his Twitter, and they said, hey, we heard you were 4'11", at It's The Real.
Yeah.
To the point where he hit us up and he was like, what the hell?
Is going on.
That's right.
Yeah.
We then asked people to go bother Asad Khalid in a nicer way.
Mm-hmm.
Asad is about the age where a child can speak.
Yep. And we want his first interview.
That's right. So all you guys out there went into his Instagram. You said, hey, we want you to go on A Waste of Time with It's The Real. But Jeff, here now is the most important challenge that we have ever asked of all you who listen to all of these episodes of A Waste of Time with It's The Real.
We want you to jump out of a moving car and do Shiggy's dance.
We have a book that drops on September 1st. It's called Rhyme Book, but it's available now for pre-order on Amazon.com. And what it is a lined notebook that has a whole bunch of original content by Jeff and myself.
Yeah.
For instance,
I went through 21 Savage's first 21 songs, and I cataloged all of his ad-libs within those 21 songs. So every time he says 21, every time he says yeah, every time he says yeah, every time he says yeah.
They're all categorized. There's graphs in there.
I actually drove myself crazy doing that.
There's a Missy Elliott word search. There are quotes that are inspirational from this podcast. There are playlists that we came up with that you guys can go through that are amazing and hilarious and wonderful. And by the way, sound great.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of different time wasters in here. But again, it's a lined notebook that we helped design, that we helped create, that we named, that we... played every part in, and we're super excited about it. It drops on September 1st, but here's the thing. It's available at Amazon.com right now. If you have $16, this is the best $16 that you will ever spend in your life, I promise you. Go to Amazon.com, search Rhyme Book, and if you want to get more specific, Rhyme Book, and then write Rosenthal after, because you don't want to buy some like rhyming dictionary.
Right.
You want to get this lined notebook that you can use to write your rhymes, you can use to write your verses, your hooks, your grocery lists, your dreams.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. Like, people always wonder, how do I support the podcast?
Yeah.
How do I, you know, keep this thing going? How do I, you know...
Yeah, it's 200 episodes in. How much further can we take this? People love the podcast, and the answer is...
you can buy this line notebook.
Because here's the greatest thing. Shea Serrano, the New York Times bestselling author, the internet sensation, the wonderful human being who you guys know, he's written the Rap Yearbook, and he wrote Basketball and other things, and he suggested we go over to Abrams. We work with this amazing editor named Samantha Wiener. We, by the way, found out that Action Bronson is also at Abrams, but... what Shea does really well is that he encourages his FOH army to go and support a bigger cause. And if we can get pre-orders in right now, if not everyone waits until September 1st, if you have a chance right now to go and support It's The Real, now is the time to do it. Go pre-order Rhyme Book on Amazon.com because, number one, it is so worth it. Number two, it helps keep this pirate ship afloat. And number three, you'll forget about it in a couple months, and then it's going to arrive like a surprise to you in the mail.
Right.
So shout out to everyone who's already pre-ordered a copy of Rhyme Book, and shout out to everyone who's going to go to Amazon right now and make this happen, and let's go do this thing. Jeff, who's on the podcast today?
On the podcast today is Action Bronson.
Hey, people have been asking for this episode for, no joke, 3 years.
And we finally made it happen.
So shouts to everyone who's been asking.
The only way we made it happen is because he's injured and his schedule is much freer than it once was.
Yeah.
So he originally, his people asked, hey, can you guys come over tonight?
Right.
And no. We were like, no, we can't do that.
Nope, sorry.
So they said, how about tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.? And again, we were like, no, like we're not going to travel to Brooklyn. And they said, bring bagels.
They said, bring bagels.
And
that part we went with.
Yeah. But then we ended up going over there at 11 a.m., which is a much more reasonable time.
Absolutely.
Like, I was surprised that they would be up for, and they were serious. They were like, come over at 9 a.m.
They were up very early. So shouts to them. This conversation is so much fun. Like, it's one of those episodes where you have a certain expectation and it far supersedes it, because Action is like the best improv partner. He just goes along with anything. He's honest. He's funny. And he's in it. He's down. You were saying we were going to do like a 12-hour podcast.
Yeah.
He would have done that 12-hour podcast.
Yes.
What a great dude. We covered a lot of ground, a lot of funny stuff, a lot of deep stuff, a lot of historical stuff. I'm so happy that we got this episode done, and I'm really happy that we did not listen to all the people out there who were like, hey, you need to make this culinary episode and bring the cooking aspect of A Waste of Time with It's the Real back.
Yeah, I mean, like, if people want to listen to Action Bronson chewing on some lamb, that's not this episode.
That is not this episode.
That's just, like, most of his life.
That is the way to end A Waste of Time with It's the Real. But the way to keep it going, one more time, is to go to Amazon.com and order Rhymebook today. Pre-order it today. It gets delivered September. Go get it now. Support your boys. It's the Real. Jeff, do you have three episodes you want to recommend?
Yes. I want to recommend episode number one with Alchemist.
Great episode. We recorded that in Los Angeles, and Alchemist is just one of the funniest guys, one of the most accomplished guys, and he's just such a great dude. Every time we see him, it's all love, and I loved sitting down with him and hearing his story.
Episode number 136, Chuck English.
Wow, Chuck English, that was a long time in the making too. That was an episode that we thought was going to be hilarious, because Chuck is a really, really a funny guy. It ended up being really, really serious, but an excellent episode.
And number 131, Brocky Marciano.
Shout out to Brocky Marciano. You were trading tweets with him the other day. He's just great energy. He's just like the Big Lebowski. He goes by the dude, and he's the most chill guy, a super accomplished guy, an A&R over at Interscope Records. And guys, if you have not heard that episode, you really should. If you want to have good insight into the music business, Brocky's episode is where you should start.
Also, it's top five for the entire year in terms of numbers.
So shout out to everyone who has been listening.
Yeah.
Jeff, when do you want to get into this one?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. All the Chicken Heads Be Quiet, a.k.a. Slaughterhouse.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Silk the Chakra, a.k.a. Make Them Say Om.
I got the things over there, man. You want to do ohms? I got maracas. I got the thing. I got some incense. It's your boy Bam Bam Baklavizzi, Young Bronsolino. Just signed to Juventus, 2 years.
Yeah, it's a waste of time with It's the Real. Bronson, what's happening?
Hold on.
All right.
Let me just fucking take this drool off the parchment paper.
I feel good, man.
Good. It's good to see you.
Thank you for coming. I appreciate you.
Yeah. We are in your big office here down in Brooklyn.
This is my office space.
Yes.
Wait, this is the first time that somebody's actually smoked on our podcast, I think, right?
No, Wiz did.
Oh, Wiz did, right.
Yeah. And Currency did.
Yeah.
And there's a whole list of people who did.
But Currency didn't
they didn't hit a glass. Fuck.
They did not hit a glass, no. Is that what?
People ask, what's the sexiest noise that people have ever heard on our podcast?
You're going to hear that at the beginning of someone's song now.
It's your drop.
La musica. Right. Now we're ready.
You're good. It's fully out of your system?
No.
That'll happen a couple of times during this podcast.
No, here's something no one's ever done. No one's ever held the microphone under their arm.
I'm a fucking legend with this. I know how to hold microphones in ways to be able to use both hands like you can't believe. And honestly, I should be wearing a fucking Bobby Brown microphone right now. I'm really upset that I don't have a hands-free microphone.
That is your prerogative.
Yeah, and it is. That's our fault. We apologize.
All right.
We did bring bagels, though.
You sure did.
Brought bagels made by
Absolute Bagels.
It's unbelievable.
It really is delicious.
By the way.
And you brought a nice little assortment.
We did.
Egg.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's an underrated bagel.
Wait, what's the most?
I saw you going in straight up.
What's the most overrated bagel?
I think everything bagel is overrated.
I would agree.
We just had one and it made the whole fucking room stink. It just didn't taste that good.
No.
I think you guys are both wrong.
Why? What's the most overrated?
I think that most overrated might be... I used to be a big cinnamon raisin guy. I think cinnamon raisin doesn't really go with a lot of cream cheeses.
Where did it go? Want me to tell you what cinnamon raisin goes with?
What?
Jalapeno cream cheese.
Really?
It'll blow your fucking asshole up.
How did you find that out?
Not in a bad way.
By accident?
Like you'll be flying up like a spaceship. Mm-hmm. It'll like power you to the next universe. Seriously.
Yeah.
I found out about that by just getting silly.
Oh.
You know,
no one recommended it to you.
No, a cinnamon raisin bagel is honestly, like you said, it's kind of blah.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Let's make it lively. Let's put a little bit of jalapeno cream cheese, make it crazy. And it ended up being banging.
So every time now?
If I'm going to get a cinnamon raisin bagel, there's going to be jalapeno cream cheese on it.
Mm. Is that on your rider?
No, but there are some candles on the rider. Mm-hmm. Core
like,
wait,
like votive candles?
Yeah, like it has to be scented, but like what natural, for, like, natural wax, no artificial flavorings.
What if you ask for Roman candles?
Oh shit! Start fucking shooting it at people.
It really is like should a drop, put, like every now and then.
We should put fireworks. Should definitely put fireworks on the rider.
You know how we fix that? Coca-Cola. Yeah.
10 in the morning.
So,
wait, do you
I really
want to say
replaced
that again
it with
choking?
Diet Coke.
Oh, like Mike Francesa.
Yeah, but it's just a regular Coke bottle.
Yeah.
By the way, Mike Francesa, shout to him. He's a legend. I love him.
He really is a legend.
I don't give a fuck who doesn't like him. That's my guy.
Right?
Are
same
you
here.
A Mets fan or
no,
Yankees fan?
No, Yankees fan.
See, how did that happen, though? You're from Flushing.
Born and raised. I don't really know. My grandfather was a big, New York Giants fan. He didn't like the fucking Mets. And he put me onto baseball. So
they were the National League replacement, though.
Which ones?
The Mets came in to replace the Giants when they moved.
I know. Yeah. Well, but he didn't feel that.
Damn.
He went with the Giants to San Francisco and, like, watched them.
Wow.
And he would also watch the Yankees. So I just found an affinity for the Yankees. I think it was Randy Velarde that called me.
92?
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
Randy Velarde, Mariano Duncan, those years.
Those were tough years, by the
way. They really were. Yeah. Well, I didn't start liking them because they were fucking good. I liked the uniforms.
Mm.
You know, like I liked the hat.
Right. Not the name on the back.
There is no name on
the
back.
I know.
There you go.
How do you feel about the people facial who hair. Get like the jerseys customized with names on the back? It's like, what
you
kind of fan
that
are you?
They don't really know
I
what's
know.
Up.
Yeah.
They don't know what's up. Never wear a Yankee jersey with a name on the back unless...
Never.
It's a practice jersey, and even then, it shouldn't even be done.
Feel a little weird about it.
It feel weird.
Yeah.
I definitely had a weird little majestic blue one with Tino Martinez on the back. I had T with the Martina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I felt weird.
Yeah.
Our brother used to work for the Yankees,
mm-hmm.
and you were at Derek Jeter's last game.
I was.
Yeah.
Right behind home plate. How did you get those tickets?
I bought them.
Whoa.
I fucking bought them. I balled out. Me and my mama.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, I felt like... we had to be there since we watched every single one of his games since he came up. And, like, I always watch sports at home with my mom. You know, she's fucking, we go nuts. She loves it. And I feel like there was no better person that I had to take. It was the only person to take.
Yeah, you never got a Derek Jeter jersey, though.
A Matsui guy.
Really?
Yeah, that's my favorite Yankee.
Wow.
Yeah, but Jeter is like, he's the man. He's he's the legend.
You know who my favorite Yankee is?
Tell me.
Abraham Lincoln.
That's fucking sick.
So, you're supposed to be on tour right now.
I am.
But you had a knee injury.
Yeah.
How's it feel? How are you doing?
It feels like shit, man. It feels, it sucks to have a fucking bad wheel,
Yeah.
This happened at least 4 years ago in Germany. I remember the day I jumped off stage. They were trying to fucking kill me.
Who's they?
Them. The Germans. Nah. I jumped off stage. The stage was like mad high, 15 feet. I don't know what the fuck I was doing.
Did you do like an Uzi dive?
I don't know. No. I did a Black Panther jump.
Wow.
Okay.
I jumped off stage and just landed like that,
Mm-hmm. You know who wouldn't like that?
Who?
Sheik Luch.
Yeah, nah, he wouldn't like that. He doesn't like Black Panther, right?
No.
That was actually the first of those types of movies that I liked. Of like superhero-y.
Yeah, same with us.
I don't like superhero movies.
Nope.
I liked Logan.
The Wolverine. That,
but it wasn't like mad, like cartoony.
Yeah, right. See, we haven't
even like
seen
that real,
one.
That was a real fucking movie. It was good.
I thought that it was getting like a lot of like Oscar attention. So
that's a good fucking movie.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm very glad that you didn't go like Bill Belichick and like be like, I'm not talking about my injury.
Oh, no. I got a fucking... I tore meniscus.
Yeah, oh.
I tore my meniscus. And when I played at the celebrity softball game.
Yep.
CC's...
At Yankee Stadium.
At Yankee Stadium for pitching. This is what happened. I went up there with confidence. I took the swing. I hit a it was solid. It was a solid ground ball up the middle. There was no chance for him to make a play anyway.
Yeah. Hmm.
And then he made an errant throw. Dylan Dennis, an MMA upriser. He's a really fucking amazing jiu-jitsu fighter. He made an errant throw. So I legged out a double, and I fucking knocked in Mariano Rivera with the RBI.
Man.
You know?
Just a light
But guy. I hurt myself running.
You're not taking it easy. You're
nah,
hustling.
I chugged it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This film.
Yeah.
I chugged it.
And look what happened.
It's all right. Fuck it.
Well, so
it was all worth it.
When you broke your leg when you were a chef, that led you to becoming a rapper full time or dedicating yourself towards it. So what is this injury going to turn you into?
I've been painting a lot.
Oh.
I have. I've been painting many things. I'm just, you know, I'm just letting whatever creativity comes out at the time.
Yeah.
But the knee, it's not like, I just can't travel and put like all this wear and tear of doing festivals, you know? The festival run is crazy. You fucking here one day, there the next day, have to walk up 45 stairs to get to the stage. I was told not to do any stairs right now. You know, how could I do that? I'm fucking hop up on one foot.
Nope.
I could, but I'd just rather chill out and get myself together.
So what's the prognosis?
The prognosis is I already took a plasma. It's a platelet replenishing shot.
From Germany?
No, no. Hell no. I wouldn't put any fucking thing in my body from Germany. Are you kidding me?
They're still trying to get you.
Them. And, They take the blood out of your body. They spin it.
Yep.
They separate plasma from hemoglobin. They take the plasma, which is the platelet-rich rejuvenation serum.
Mm-hmm.
They put it back into this syringe, 4 cc's, which is the entire fucking needle. Then they told me it's going to hurt. I was like, all right, I've been in pain before. And then he fucking sprayed some shit like they spray on a soccer guy when he rolls 30 feet. And he injected the plasma right into my knee, and it felt like my whole body was about to explode. Jesus. It was the worst pain in the history
of life. They were right.
Wait, was it the worst pain or the best high?
The worst pain in the history of life. I don't even know.
Was it worth it?
Let's see. Let's see. It's supposed to fucking make the meniscus brand new.
Yeah.
It's supposed to make everything good without surgery, so.
So are you doing, like, PT and stuff?
Yep.
Whoa.
Do you have to, like, do it in
rehab.
A pool?
Pool and the bike. Non-impact.
Mm. So when can you be back on your feet, so to speak, totally?
I mean, I got a show tomorrow in Queens.
So hopefully by then.
Because I got to get I got to get the bread.
No,
you know, I'm not going to fucking knock it. This
office doesn't pay by itself.
I left a lot of bread on the table out there, you know what I mean?
The last time we saw you, you were heading down to South by Southwest. We saw you at the airport.
At the airport, that's right.
And you and Mark, tour manager Mark.
Mark the Jesus, Mark the Jesus, a.k.a. the Jesus, a.k.a. Latin Heat.
We're complaining about Alchemist and the way that he travels because while you guys do carry-ons, he actually packs like bags and checks them.
I don't even know. We could complain all day about Al. He's a great guy.
Wonderful guy.
Is he?
Yeah, he really is.
I heard he doesn't do carry-ons.
He doesn't do carry-ons.
Yeah, not a great guy.
Nah, that's not a great guy. Well, he's just... he has his reasons, but for some... I don't know why he packs so much shit. He wears the same similar thing all the time.
Mm-hmm. Shouts to Pata.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
He's patted down.
Yeah.
Pata. He wears... even if it's 100 degrees outside, he'll have he'll have jogging pants, thick jogging pants under his jeans.
This is a man
who's trying to lose weight?
Yeah. No, I feel like he's trying to look thicker, you know? I always tell him he's trying to look thick, which is ridiculous. Yeah, yeah. He's over here with his little thin tud that he has, these big legs in the fucking Levi jeans.
Maybe he's just fashion forward, you know?
I think that it might. Listen, you never know these days. There's all kinds of fashion. Yeah. I'm a fashion person also.
Yeah.
I used to be in Century 21 copping Moschino shirts that didn't fit.
Too tight.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Are you kidding me? I couldn't get in a goddamn Moschino shirt back then. It was like early 2000s. Yeah.
You're originally from Queens.
Flushing, Queens.
Originally born and bred Flushing, Queens.
164th Street. I don't know anything else.
What was growing up there like?
It was just fun. You know, we live in a nice little development over there. We live in buildings. Two-bedroom apartment, small.
Mm-hmm.
45 people in it.
That's a lot.
You know?
That's a lot.
Albanians.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smoking lots of cigarettes. Lots of CNN.
Mm-hmm.
My whole life I grew up watching CNN. That too. No, but the real CNN, the CNN where they would fucking show the war.
Yeah.
And the fucking grandfather would spit at the TV.
Really?
That type
of
shit.
He didn't like Scud missiles?
He didn't like them.
Mm.
He didn't like them.
Would you travel through the different boroughs?
Yeah, of course. All the family lived in Brooklyn. Go out to Ocean Parkway and like Avenue P or some shit like that. Right on one of the corners over there. Cousins lived there. We used to watch all the soccer games and just go over there. My cousins lived in Astoria.
Mm.
Go everywhere, honestly.
Were you a good student?
At one point I was.
Yeah?
Seventh grade, I was in the accelerated classes, and then instantly it was gone.
Oh.
Because I
just found different things that I liked, like women and weed and cutting school and going places with my friends. You know,
there you go.
Shit.
Yeah.
City shit. Taking trains and getting wild.
Would you ride outside the train?
No, we used in the middle.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Smoke weed in the middle of the thing.
Have you ever pissed off the train in the middle?
Of course. Are you fucking kidding me? That's like initiation.
Yeah. Initiation to what?
Just life.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Just being a kid. Being down.
Did you have a bar mitzvah?
I did not, but I promised my grandfather and my mother. I mean, my mom didn't care, but she wanted me to get it. To get the bread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if my grandfather was alive when I was 13, I would have had it, but he died when I was 12.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Never got to the bar mitzvah.
Well, it's not too late.
Yeah.
Well, you could bar mitzvah now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can bar mitzvah anytime you want.
There's no one that's going to fucking bread me up.
Why not?
Listen, I'll give
Who's going to bread me up now?
I'll give you like $26.
Mm. And 18 cents.
Am I going to do it $26?
What are you going to do with it, man?
I'll tell
you've
you
changed.
What I really have changed. Yeah. I'll tell you what I could do with $26.
Yeah.
It's like one trip to the fucking store in Williamsburg for a couple of Icy's, a Haagen-Dazs, you know? You can fucking leave there without your shorts.
Did you go to any bar mitzvahs?
Oh, yeah. I've been to Michael Wasserman's bar mitzvah. Oh,
all right.
Wait, Michael Wasserman's Jewish?
Any good themes?
Knicks. Of course. Everyone had a Knicks yarmulke on. We were all wearing like cross colors, like fucking different. It was wild back
then, no suits?
Hell no.
It was all
he wore
trunks.
A suit, but yeah, I would wear. I always came through in like different. I don't wear that shit. If my father saw me in a yarmulke, he'd fucking break my head open.
I went to a girl's bat mitzvah when I was 13. Obviously, right? Like
I never been to a bat.
Really?
No.
You only knew Jewish dudes.
No, yeah. I knew Jewish girls too, but they didn't invite me to the bat.
Damn.
Emily Oldeck.
Oh, call him out.
Yeah. I hope she's listening.
Nah, that's the only name I remember.
By the way, Emily's not invited to your bar mitzvah. Yeah. Just for the record. I went to this girl's bat mitzvah.
Yeah, and that's funny to bring up bar mitzvah nostalgia. Yo,
her theme was like, it was like Egyptian princess or something like that, which was crazy. God. And
yeah, because Jews were definitely not welcome in Egypt.
It was so weird because they're like, all right, we're going to bring her in like Queen Sheba. And I'm thinking like, all right, like the dancers that they hire are going to lift her up. But whoever's organizing it backstage or whatever, they go like, all right, we need 4 volunteers. And they pick like biggest dude, biggest dude, biggest dude, and skinny little me, right? And I'm like, oh my God, you know, this is when I really do
did
become
you
a man,
have to go
right?
Shirtless?
What's up?
Shirtless?
No, didn't have to go shirtless, thank God.
Didn't have to, but Eric chose to.
Yeah. I went in my cross colors, but I lifted it up and like, you know, bared through it and fucked up my back like so bad.
Well, it should be said, the girl was a big girl.
Oh yeah, she was
stout.
She was a stout girl.
She was Steve Stout.
Shouts to Steve
Stout. She was a big girl, and I don't know why they chose me. Like, maybe to punish me. I don't know what I did.
Well, you were Jewish.
I was hanging out with Steve Stout in Stockholm.
Were you really?
I was.
How was that?
He's the man.
Did you
go to McDonald's?
No.
Oh.
No.
Where'd you guys go? What'd you guys do?
Pharrell was there, too.
What?
Oh. How is that the second? Like, you're burying the lead.
There was a lot of amazing people there.
Was this at a dinner or?
It was at the Brilliant Minds Consortium.
Yeah.
I can't tell if you're making this up or not.
It's a real thing. There's a picture of all of us in Stockholm.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
With Pharrell looking depressed at the table.
Oh.
It's like, why am I fucking here with all these people?
All these brilliant minds.
Yeah. What'd you bring to the table?
Well, me and Mr. Batali did a talk. We gave a little seminar at the Brilliant Minds thing, and people fucking loved it. They went nuts.
Are you invited back?
I was invited back this year, actually.
Wow.
But I didn't go.
Because of the knee.
Yeah.
Would you rather be a brilliant mind or a beautiful mind?
I think it's both.
Mm-hmm.
I want both to happen simultaneously.
Again, not too late.
Yeah, nah. I don't, you know, sometimes the brilliance is beauty, but beauty, it's captivating. Like, it's not a formula.
Mm.
It just is, you know?
Yeah,
it's
that's not a bar.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's too deep to even put into a rap. I don't know how I would depict it.
Yo, so one of my favorite opening rap lines to any rap song is when 50 was like, now we'll be back friends like Puffy and Steve Stout. What is your favorite opening rap line?
It's one of mine. What if Allen Iverson was Chinese riding on a Harley in damn square copping Charlie?
So you can never top that?
I don't think that I could ever top that one.
By the way, you know
it's
what was
a
very
thought. Think about that thought. Like, think about what I just said.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What if Allen Iverson was Chinese riding on a Harley?
That's brilliant and beautiful.
Well,
and captivating. Yeah. But
you were definitely not expecting. I have some things in there that'll fucking blow your mind.
I just want to be clear. This is not Genius Verified. This is actually a different web content.
Yo, when did you really like find the confidence you have now? Did you always have it?
Yeah, I think I had it in other things that I did, you know, like in the kitchen and just like when I would lift weights.
Mm-hmm.
I think I always had a confidence for sure. I always knew I was good at sports and shit like that, but I was overweight, so there was always that little tinder of, oh man, he has a fat ass fucking stomach.
Mm-hmm. So
that I couldn't get past.
So in high school, what did you want to do with your life?
I don't know what I wanted. At that time, I think I always wanted to be a chef. No matter what, I wanted to be a chef. The mind was always to be a culinary master.
Did you start like at 13, 14?
Yeah, in junior high school, I definitely tried to learn how to cook to get pussy.
Yeah?
Yeah, from this one girl. She was Honduran and her name was Yvette.
Shout out to her.
Yeah. From junior high school.
Did it work?
But I was a little bitch. Yeah. I had her in the crib and everything. We were going to definitely do something. I don't know what happened.
Well, there were 44 other people in the crib, so it was weird.
Yeah, yeah. No, there was no one there that day. It was just the stench of Rothman Blues.
What did you make her?
Penne pasta.
Did you really?
Yeah, penne pasta with like zucchini and like this mustard thing.
Shit.
It was pretty good.
That's really good.
I use it to this day.
Yeah?
I perfected it, actually.
It's somewhere Yvette is just like
seething.
Yeah. That was my dish. That was for me.
So if you gave up on sort of like being a great student in high school and you wanted to be a chef, like, did you plan on going to college at all?
I didn't have any fucking plans at that time. I was just fucking off.
Yeah.
Just watching sports, having fun, just doing what the fuck I want.
What'd your mom say? Weed.
My mother loved every minute of it.
Yeah?
My mother is like one of the coolest people that you could ever meet. She's old school hippie, just pothead. You know,
mm-hmm.
We just, not a pothead, but she loves to smoke weed
mm-hmm.
and get elevated. You know, she always had the pink Zinfandel in the fridge. Pink Zinfandel next to the Diet Cherry 7-Up.
Wait, what was your team mascot in, what was your high school name?
The Bayside Commodores.
That actually sounds like a 70s, like, R&B group.
It is.
Oh, yeah, the Commodores, yeah. But, like, the Bayside just in topic.
Who was your biggest rival?
The biggest rival was August Martin in South Jamaica.
Fuck him.
Yeah, they had a good team. Bayshore. Who else? Fucking Brooklyn Tech. Who else was on that fucking... Flushing.
Bet Circuit, yeah.
Flushing, Beach Channel,
mm-hmm.
Far Rockaway.
Yep.
They weren't that good. Yeah, but all that was fun.
So what was the move then, like, after high school?
I dropped out of high school.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Drop out of high school, and then what?
You know, I took a year off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
I took a year off to find myself. Yeah, sure. Yeah. And then,
now it's in vogue. Then it was.
Yeah,
you know,
no. Yeah. And then I just went and got a GED real quick. Boom, boom, boom. And I ended up going to culinary school. I went to Art Institute on Varick.
What was the team name for Art Institute? What was their football team?
I don't know what the team name for the GED spot was either, but it was in St. Albans, South Jamaica, Queens. Shouts out.
Did you enjoy culinary school from the jump?
Yeah, I love culinary school. I was energized by it. I had gotten into really good shape at that time. I was like 220 pounds. I was in the fucking locker room doing all kinds of crazy workouts. I had a good fade. Yeah, the girlies liked me.
Mm-hmm. Did the penne work in culinary school?
I went crazy with the penne. My penne was going nuts. and then I don't know. And then I fucking, I had a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up dropping out of something I was paying for.
Yeah.
And so did the kid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then hit the real world.
Which was?
Cooking.
Yeah. Is it easy to find a job then?
Well, I worked at my pop's place for a while in Queens. And after that, I worked at a couple of like steakhouses around town and different places. And then the Mets.
Yeah. So you're not a Mets fan growing up.
Nope, but it was real close.
It was very close.
It's about 6 minutes from the crib.
How do you get that job?
Q65 right there.
Yeah.
To the 7 train, then one stop.
Easy. How'd you get the job?
I went and I applied. I went there. I actually came to the interview in shorts, like dressed up nicely, but in shorts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were like, you gotta come back. And, yeah. Well, exactly.
Wait, was like LeBron James?
Not those. At that time, they were a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the long shorts.
Yeah, short.
Like the ones jean, that, like
jorts?
Jabot. I came in Jabot jean shorts.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You wanted to make a statement.
I always do.
Yeah.
Splash. That's a splash. The Jabot jean shorts to the fucking job interview was a splash. I wore them to the U.S. Open thing, and I didn't get the job.
Well,
they saw the shorts, and they were a little intimidated. There was so much Velcro.
Yeah. You know what Alchemist would have done?
Alchemist
would have worn sweatpants underneath the shorts.
Bro, he definitely has short sweatpants for the shorts. I used to love sweatpants shorts. That's a fat kid's dream right there. Sweat shorts? That's a fucking fat fashion statement.
Yeah, but you were cut at this point.
No, I wasn't cut.
Oh.
I was shredded.
Excuse me.
So you walk in, was it Shea Stadium at the time?
Nah, it was City.
Oh, it was City Field.
Yeah, it just turned into City. I think it was 2008.
And you walked in there and they were like...
I got the job. I worked in the commissary kitchen. I was going to work my way up to be a really fucking... I was going to run that kitchen.
Do you become a Mets fan at that point?
No.
No. Did they know you were a Yankees fan?
Yeah.
No.
And they didn't fire you?
No.
They didn't sniff you out?
No, they didn't give a shit. There was all kinds of fucking people working there. This fucking Rikers Island fucking... The culinary program was there.
Really?
Yeah.
So what were you doing in the kitchen there?
I was just doing... like,
you were on the line?
You had the commissary kitchen fed the entire stadium of staff.
Mm-hmm.
And also would cook... the buffet spread for the players after the end of the game.
Really?
And have it ready in their room and whatever.
You made the sunflower seeds.
Bro.
Yeah.
I made the fucking chicharrón. You kidding me?
Yeah.
The sunflower seeds.
Claro que sí.
I used to make all this, the Dominican food. The white rice with the manteca.
And they loved you there.
They loved me for a minute until I got into a fight and I fucking, you know.
Killed a guy?
Well, I... could have. I told him I was gonna fucking kiss him.
Mm.
I told him you're a pussy. I'll kiss you.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't like that. Well, that one didn't fly well with everybody. I was threatening him.
Was this the boss?
To kiss him.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
While I was hitting him.
Like a real psychopath.
That was a bit psychotic. I must say myself. Now that I think back, I'm like, what the fuck was that? What is that thing? I'm sick. Whoa.
So did they ask you to
this
leave at that point?
This is an intervention, isn't it?
No, yeah.
A double fucking diagnosis.
So they asked you to leave?
Yeah.
Did you try coming back?
I did make a phone call.
Did you really?
I did.
To the boss?
I didn't actually make the phone call. They called me. He's like, "Ah, what the fuck did you do? You were doing so well. We were just about to promote you, da da da." I was like, "Bro, what the fuck am I going to do? It happened, you know?"
Yeah.
And they were like, "We can't do anything," because it was like the GMs were right there. Like,
really?
Omar Minaya and the different GMs from Aramark. And like, they were doing a floor. Like, that day they were walking the floor.
You chose the worst time to try to kill somebody.
I didn't know. Yeah. How am I supposed to know?
Right.
They had, you know, there was a gate. Like a you know, one of those fucking good ones from the street.
Yep.
That opens the room. That was half open. There's a lady sitting in the front. That was like the whatever, the paperwork woman. And I fucking threw him over the table, right onto, like, it was like a movie, right onto the feet. And they look, and like, it was bad.
Legendary,
no
though. Char-
yeah, well, yeah, I left there a legend.
Yeah.
Because now they know who I've become.
Yeah.
And people hit me up like, "Oh, shit, remember that? Yo, you was fucking nuts. You told me you were to kiss him, yo. It was fucking sick." And I'm like, you, heralded for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, now you won't accept my $26.18.
Nah, I fucking You've rather changed. Break a bottle out of your head. $26 won't do anything for me right now.
Hey guys, just want to interrupt this podcast to tell you that Rhymebook, the lined notebook with original It's the Real material all through it, is available for pre-order right now at Amazon.com.
Go to itsthereal.com/shop today. Get your copy of It's the Real's Rhymebook right now.
There's lots of dope games in there. There's really fun ways to get over your writer's block. There's tons of lined blank pages in there to write down your hooks, your verses, your dreams. Now is the time to go pre-order Rhymebook at Amazon.com. Search Rhymebook Rosenthal, because it's written by us. It's beautifully designed. It's lightweight. It looks cool. Guys, go get it right now. And now back to Action Bronson. So you leave there, and what are you possibly going to do at that point?
I went crawling back to Daddy.
What'd he say?
Was he impressed?
No.
Did you know why you left?
No. He gave me the job, and then we ended up hating each other. And I broke my leg literally 2 days after I came back.
So how did you break your leg?
I just fucking slipped. I slipped. My man Husaid's brother, Julio, was mopping the floor at the time, and it was a little oily from the night before. And the oil and water didn't mix on the floor well.
Damn.
And I was wearing New Balance 574s, which are a terrible shoe. And
we are sponsored by
shout out to New Balance.
Fuck that. And I was holding food for the children that I had just made. I was happy. I was walking fast, and I just fucking, I don't know how, I just slipped. And my fucking right leg got caught under me and just snapped.
Oh. If you really hated your dad, you could have sued for workers' comp.
I would never do that. I thought about it. But I don't think he had it. That's the problem. He's Albanian, man. He didn't have any insurance at the time.
You heard it snap?
He was working on a permit, like from the DMV.
You heard it snap?
Oh, I heard it.
Oh, my God.
It was like a fucking drum, like a snare, like pow. It was nuts.
How long was that rehab?
I was off my feet for, I'd say, two to three months, and it didn't fully heal until about a year and a half. But now it's bionic.
Yeah.
I always felt this way. It's like rookie of the year arm, but with the leg.
Mm-hmm. That's why you got that double at Yankee Stadium.
Straight. Mm-hmm. After that, I've hit. I don't even know what hitting. I've hit. Unbelievable moonshots. I've done athletic things that
you escaped the Germans.
I escaped the Germans. I do round offs, aerials. I jump off stages still, you know, even at this massive amount of weight. Landing on this bionic leg is kind of beautiful.
So when you heal up,
it's kind of poetry.
Yeah.
Kind of poetry. Yeah. Hey, don't sell yourself short. Yeah.
So when you heal up,
I kick really hard.
Oh yeah.
Oof.
Talk about poetry. I kick really hard. That's like almost
my
a haiku.
Horse back kicked. I back kick hard. But don't ever fucking stand behind because you catch a horse kick to the dick like you'll never feel ever. It might just straight up fall off.
That would be the best opening line you've ever had, right?
Yeah.
That was. I was writing a rap just now, actually.
Are you planning on going back into the kitchen at that point?
Hell no. At that point, I'm fucking already got paid like $1,000 to rap one time.
Who paid you $1,000?
Somebody in Australia sent me $1,000 PayPal to do a verse.
And you said, all right.
Absolutely.
How did he find you?
I was on the internet.
Oh, sure.
I was on the web somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yahoo.com.
Yeah. Hotmail. Mm-hmm. I think I started Twitter around 2010. That's when it popped off. And just using Twitter and I don't even know what the fuck it was. I think it was Twitter.
What'd you put in your bio?
Just Flushing Queens.
Yeah.
That's it.
You were putting out songs, though.
I had put out this Bon Appetit Bitch mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
And I was finishing up Dr. Lecter, the first project.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when shit started happening. And I put that out when my leg broke, and I remember. And from there, went on tour in fucking Europe and did weird shit.
Already?
Yes, it was crazy. It hit in Europe hard.
Did you have any expectation?
In Milan.
Like a horse.
Yeah. Wait, so when...
It really did. I'm not going to lie. I was in fucking Finland. I did Helsinki. It was a crazy show. I did Stockholm. I did Amsterdam and Paris.
And so
and
when...
London, yo, early. Like, Europe was early.
So when they reached out and they're like, we want to put you on tour, what is your first thought? And do you have a manager at this point?
I had a manager named Dante Ross at this point.
Shout out to Dante Ross. Yeah.
At this time, yeah, it was like, fuck, I don't know, like $2,000 to go to Europe, $3,000. I was like, fuck it, we out. We never got paid that before.
Yeah.
So we went on tour.
Had you ever been to Europe?
Once before, I was in Macedonia. But other than that, no.
Not performing?
No.
So you go over there and... How'd those shows go?
Yeah, how many people were showing up? They were sick.
300 to 500 people.
That many?
That's what I'm saying. It was sick early. It was really, it was good.
And were you getting like the same sort of love even in New York though?
Yeah, New York popped a little bit after that. No, New York kind of popped around that time. I'm not really sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. I remember my first like big New York show. It was like the first New York show I did was...
Santos?
No. Well... That was... I forgot that one. Nah. What the fuck is the one? It was right after Meatopia.
Mm.
Rest in peace, my man Josh Ozersky. He put me on to doing food television and shit like that. Gramercy Theater.
Wow.
Right there by Baruch.
Yeah.
By Baruch to Adonai.
I thought you said you hadn't been to a bat mitzvah.
I've never been... I watched a lot of Seinfeld.
Oh, here's what I just learned, by the way.
Yes?
The theme song to Seinfeld,
yes,
is a ripoff of Bobby Brown's My Prerogative.
What?
That's yeah. fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You know Bobby Brown performed My Prerogative 3 fucking inches away from me.
No.
3 steps away from me.
When?
On that Untitled Action Bronson show. You see that? That easel with the painting?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you see that thing hanging on the back of it?
That says Bobby?
That's a fucking Bobby Brown apron.
He gifted that to you?
He gifted it to me. Amongst other things, he gifted me a lot of his food products, like spice rubs and instant sauces.
Wait, I had no idea that he was chefing it up.
Let me fucking show you something.
Yeah. How many other musicians are chefs? I know that DJ Paul is from 3-6 Mafia.
Is he?
Yeah, he has whole bunch of barbecue sauces.
No shit.
So Action is currently in the cabinet.
Finding paprika or something. Oh no. He's got... Wow. Marinara sauce.
From who though?
Oh, is that... Bobby?
Steve Sherpa.
Yeah.
Bobby Bacala.
Bobby Bacala sauce is fucking fire.
Really?
Organic.
Would you put it on a bagel?
Yeah, why the fuck not? An organic marinara.
Yep.
Or he does an arrabbiata.
That has nothing to do with Bobby Brown, though.
Oh, but I'm trying to find the ball. There's a fucking Bobby Brown spice right there.
And there goes a bottle of wine. Boston Blend, gluten-free, perfect for grilling. GRILLIN apostrophe.
Yep.
Bobby Brown Foods.
Would you smoke this?
Absolutely.
Would Bobby smoke that?
Bobby Eric. Brown, he's one of the coolest dudes also, trust me. Yeah. He's ill.
When you did Untitled Action Bronson show, would you go and see them before you started filming?
No.
Always like never. Organic?
Organic first time.
Organic, just gluten like...
Gluten-free.
Just like the Boston blend.
He has a lot of things. Taste it. Taste the Boston blend of Bobby Brown right now.
Thank you.
That's so much.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's
good.
I want you to get a good.
It's good. It's a little spicy.
Yo, Action just poured a mound. I was supposed to inhale this shit.
I know.
You got to taste the flavor, but you got to get every morcel. That's how you're going to get every fucking spice.
You know what it's equivalent to? It's like going between the trains and pissing off the side.
Is this how you fed a vet?
Out of the head with spices.
This is like, what is this? It's like 2 tablespoons.
Oh, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. All at once. Down the hatch, Jeff.
Like a cat.
It's good.
This is very good.
Shout
but
out
this
to Bobby
experience
Brown.
Is disgusting.
I know, yeah.
There's a garbage somewhere over here. Go ahead.
Over there.
Dump it.
There it goes.
You want to wear the apron? Get him the fucking apron, Mark.
Yeah.
What's the initiation?
But don't get crazy with it because it's very important to me.
Also, watch that painting. Which is less important to you or equally important?
It's not finished. It's just the base.
Sure.
Wow. I will wear it.
Wow, that is amazing.
Put it on.
Oh, you used it.
I actually used it in the show.
Yeah.
Sure.
There it is.
You want
to... Jeff, you're going
to
wear that?
You want to know what we made?
I do.
Shrimp a la Bobby. But word to everything.
That is genius.
Shrimp a la Bobby.
That is really
great.
And
he kept on singing it.
Who's your fifth favorite member of New Edition?
Ronnie.
Yeah.
Damn.
This is definitely my fifth.
So you're touring overseas. You're experiencing all this for the first time.
Yeah.
And when do you really like gain confidence as an artist?
Blue chips.
Yeah.
Blue chips.
Blue chips won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blue chips won. I really felt like I'd grown into my own and just was fucking, I was.
Would you go on Not Right and like read all the comments?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I love reading comments.
Would you ever respond to the comments?
Never.
Yeah.
I'm not a responder.
You just
wanted... I used to respond. I stopped responding to people on these. It's fucking weird.
It's mm-hmm. pointless.
Are Everything you... is weird, honestly, in my opinion. But I do like reading comments because it does gauge what the fuck people are thinking.
By the way, that's a bar too. Everything is weird.
Yeah.
It's fucking, it's true. You know it is.
Come it's on. Like when you say a word over and over, like cucumber, cucumber. And it's like, I don't, you know, it means nothing at a certain point.
Yeah.
By the way, all I can think about is the spice right now.
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's good.
Yeah, it's a very,
you
want to
try the Bobby Brown spice? Come through.
Yeah. Does Mark
that he
want
has,
to?
He has the best tattoo of anybody I've ever met.
Which is?
Trust me, it's an Altered Beast tattoo on his leg.
What?
You know Altered Beast from Sega Genesis?
Yes, the video game.
Rise from your grave. Look at his leg.
Oh, Mark
oh,
does.
Oh, you have it.
He
does.
Oh, Altered Beast.
I thought you meant that Bobby
really
Brown
That's
did.
That's what I thought, too.
I was like,
oh, no,
Bobby
Brown
is a gamer nerd.
No, I'm really looking at an Altered Beast.
I think Bobby too. Brown is in the same thing that Shaq is in. You know when they do that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Omega?
Or, yeah.
One. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't want the Bobby Brown spice?
No, he only gets a little.
Yeah. Sensible.
Oh, my God.
I want
you
to taste it.
Yeah. Like this?
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah. It's good, lot. Though.
It's like Montreal blend, but Boston. Because he's from there.
He's from Montreal?
He's from Boston. It's good, right?
It's good. Shout out to Bobby Brown. Jeff, how's that?
It fits right.
Oh, good.
It feels good.
Yeah.
It's
slightly
it's,
used.
It's the real couture.
You're feeling good. You're reading comments online. How often did you want to put projects out?
Nonstop. As much. I just kept going. I was making things all the time.
Because it really was like amazing to see the reaction that people had and how much, you know, good shit you were putting out there.
Yeah, it was a lot, man. You know, at that time, you know, when you're fresh, you have all these things ready in your mind and ready to go. And I just kept going. I was writing, and there was a lot of beats around, and people were making good shit.
Who were some of the people who looked out early? Static?
Yeah, Static, definitely. But earlier than that, I would say, you know, Tommy Moss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My boy Tommy Moss, man. He fucking you know, we started working and just things started changing for me in my life, in all, like, my better decisions and shit like that. It's just different energies when you, you know, he always wanted to work and was always very, you know, helpful with everything, you know, like he got the artwork done and never complained. It was just, it was good.
Were you still living with your mom at this point?
Yeah.
When did you start to consider yourself a real artist, like full time, right on your taxes? You know, I'm a musical artist.
When I started making some money off the shit, I mean, I think around 2012 was the first time. I was making, you know, I had like 75 cash or something like that. That was like my life.
Yeah.
Like, whoa. And you know, you start making some real money, you get all these other business fucking guys and this and that.
How'd you know who to trust?
I trusted Paul Rosenberg, and Paul Rosenberg.
Shout out to Paul.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And
he had a bar mitzvah.
There's no doubt about that. And Paul Rosenberg, through him, I met a lot of very trustworthy people as well, and
yeah,
just good people in general.
So, what did Paul bring to your life? Order.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, Paul brought, you know, reason.
Mm-hmm.
Vision,
mm-hmm.
bigger vision than what's going on, you know, just seeing things differently and really monetizing and kind of just bringing to fruition everything that I could really do. But, you know, like artists are, they're stubborn and, you know, you do things your own way. Things worked, you know. It was beautiful for a long time.
I think what's exceptional, so you put great music out and that's step number one, but I think you're carefree, right? There's nothing that's really going to, at least it appears.
Yeah, at a certain point, it seemed like that became your character, right? Like that, and maybe like that's a personality trait that you just have, that it was just like, I'm going to do me and I'm going to do me to the 7,000th
degree.
Power.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I live no matter what. I always have to do me because when I was sitting there, you know, with the leg broken and came to the realization as, you know, only person that's really there for me is mama.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to fucking make your way. It turned my mind around.
Mm-hmm.
It snapped me into being, you know, a grown up, like a man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that just changed a lot of shit. And then like Paul working as a mentor and just being involved in all this shit and business and this, I just learned a lot from him and how to do things in a way where, you know, you keep things quiet and don't cause problems and shit like that.
Don't throw anyone into Omar Minaya. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm just that type of guy, man. I don't cause problems. If there's a problem, there's a problem, but I'm not going to cause it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try not to at least. And if I do, I apologize. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I know if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Was there any point where you felt like there's all this forward momentum, but that you could lose it?
I think I fucked up a little bit. There's a couple of points where I think that I could have done things a little bit. Me and Wiz should have did a video for the Rockers. That would have been a really, like, a bigger step for me. And I don't know, Paul always wanted me to do, like, just bigger songs. And the one that that went on Suicide Squad soundtrack, I mean, it's a pretty big song. It has, like, 20 million plays.
Mm.
But they wanted me to be the lead video, and I was just being a bitch. I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I feel that was a misstep.
Hmm.
A couple things here and there, you know?
When did it occur to you that you wanted to be more than just a rapper?
I think that was always the plan.
Because
I was still, I was doing the, I did like a makeshift culinary show when I was working, and that was always my vision. I always wanted to get onto television and do things for like movies and just create shows and just fucking do what I want.
Which is amazing. And in 2018, seems like so obvious, but in 2012, 2013, no one was doing that. Well, like now everyone's like, oh, multi-hyphenate, right?
It is what it is. You know, we started a lot of things. Vice early started a lot of things. You know, when I signed with them, they had just signed their HBO deal. And I was like, yo, I need to be on TV also. Fuck any other deals. We need to do this. This is more up my alley. They're going to let me do what I want. And it's just fucking been beautiful, honestly. Yeah. It's been good for a very long time.
What was the first thing you threw off on stage?
Weed.
How much of it?
Probably 2 ounces.
Oh, just generous guy.
I bagged it up myself, too.
Did you really?
100%.
We were there at
Was it all sticks and all seeds?
Come on. You out of your mind? I've never smoked that in my life.
We were at Terminal 5 when you threw out the TV.
Oh, yeah.
That was special.
That was a fucking beautiful
Especially for the person who went home with that TV.
That was a fucking epic night.
Hopefully took the train
night.
Home with it.
What's something that you wanted to throw out and just, like, didn't make happen?
I wanted to fucking give away a car on stage.
Whoa.
I'm going to do that too, but I wanted to drive it on stage and have someone come and fucking take it off the stage.
Would you do it like Price is Right style?
Yes,
like,
that's exactly what I wanted to do.
We shared the vision.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know what we wanted to do one time? We had a show at SOB's. It was our first show at SOB's.
Yeah.
Right?
And we wanted to be sponsored by a mattress company.
It was in February. So we were like, all right, Valentine's Day. Let's have Casper. Someone. Yeah. Go yeah. home with a mattress.
Well, yeah, we thought like a bigger mattress though. Like not the one that like folds out. Like we want one that's like
you can't
there's a
fold
mattress.
It.
If and we were like, if you can take it home, then it's yours. But you have to meet somebody here tonight.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So maybe we'll just keep that and do it for another show.
Should.
But we didn't do it that first show.
I've thrown
bicycles into the crowd. I threw a fucking
You threw people in the crowd.
Yeah, but yeah. I've thrown like a fucking Home Depot smoker, a barbecue grill.
Really?
An unassembled one just in the box. Yo, you do it. Fucking mountain bike in Minneapolis.
Man.
Yeah, crazy shit.
You're like Santa Claus.
Yeah, all kinds of electronics. Video games, iPads, iPods, nanos.
So what about like something like very tiny?
Nano.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. I was thinking like, I don't know.
Micro machines.
Little bags of weed.
Like a tiny diamond.
Oh, wait. I was throwing truffles. But little ones.
Again, that's very generous.
Like, yo, take that.
Yeah.
People weren't catching them.
You Damn. Should throw out Bobby Brown spices.
I have enough of it, trust me. A fucking next show, Penny Arrabbiata sauce and Bobby Brown sauce.
I want to talk about what I think is your first video with Noisy. Mm. Which was when you went to the nursing home in Britain.
Yeah.
Telling you, man, we started a lot of things, man. That's a fucking...
No kidding.
That's a fucking... I feel like I came out at a time where it was a transitional period. No one was really doing the type of music I was doing at that time
mm-hmm.
that was a new artist,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was going a different direction. That's why things worked, I feel like. It was different, stuck out.
Yeah. I remember seeing that video and being like, this is so unlike everything else
exactly.
that was going on.
So what were the logistics?
This girl, Jo Fuertes Knight, I believe, came up with the idea in London.
Hmm.
Yeah, and she worked for Vice at the time, and it was fucking brilliant.
Did you say, all right?
I was like, absolutely. I couldn't wait to do that. I knew it was going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was. Oh, man.
So what did the women know before you came out?
Nothing.
Nothing. They just knew that they were
there
for something.
There was a musical
something.
Performance coming.
And so you come out and you start rapping.
If you see in the video, as soon as the song comes on, one of the women goes like this.
Yeah, she covers her ears.
Like she's very startled at the sudden sound of drums.
How many takes did you do?
One. I don't do takes.
Yo.
I don't. We're not doing scripted things. We just
yeah.
you catch me living, and that's it.
Funk Flex freestyle. Well, one take.
Cool. What do you think people do more than one take? I've never done anything.
No, we're not talking about you.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I fucked up on the last one I did. I was like, he was like, yo, you want to do something? Hell no.
Right. Yeah.
That's part of the allure. It's a freestyle. It's not
For
supposed
sure.
to be perfect.
Yo. Okay. A couple things about that.
And a lot of the shit is freestyle because you have to come up with something. If you fuck up, like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Scramble.
Yeah.
You look like the old woman.
Yeah, for real.
Real startled.
For real. Like, what am I going to do?
Did you...
Everyone's watching me.
Did you know what beat you wanted to spit on for Funk Master Flex?
Which one? Are we talking about like the one that everyone loves?
With the Jets hat, yeah.
That was a legendary one.
Yeah.
That was good.
Did you know...
Are you talking
that
about
got the building buzzing.
Yeah, they got the building buzzing.
I swear to you, after that one, the building is buzzing.
Oh, my God.
I swear to you. Yeah.
No, but... And you went in there, and your headphones fell off.
Yeah, no, I just... I knew that I wanted to do that Alchemist beat.
Yeah.
I knew that.
It was incredible.
Did Alchemist pay you to do it?
Not at all. He doesn't have to... He's never paid me a dollar in his life, actually. He doesn't have to pay me to do anything.
Is Alchemist your father?
Who knows? He's that old. Could be.
Flex says at the end, he's like, action is the
nicest in the game.
Yeah.
It's pretty heavy duty.
And he said, disagree if you want.
It happened.
Did you want to?
To disagree?
Yeah.
Not at that moment. I couldn't disagree at that moment because I fucking smashed that
shit. When you left there, you realized you smashed it?
When I put on the fucking black trench coat, I knew I smashed it.
It's crazy.
You know?
Yeah.
When I had there was a look. There was a fucking eerie look to it. It was a spooky night. Yeah. It was crazy. There was a fucking witches flying and moons jumping all over the... It was a good one.
You have cooked with Rachel Ray.
I have.
You have cooked with Seth Meyers.
I have. I've cooked with legends, crazy people.
Have you met or cooked with Martha Stewart?
Nope.
Do you want to?
What is she waiting for?
She asked Snoop.
This is fair.
She's not fucking with me like that.
She only can hang out with one rapper chef?
I think Snoop, I think he got some skills.
Yeah.
He's Young Eggs. I remember he told me his kid called him Young Eggs. Cooks eggs real good.
Yo, what's the experience on Seth Meyers like?
I love him. He's a cool ass dude.
Yeah.
He knows my raps. Yeah. Like intricate raps of mine.
That's dope.
Like when I came on the show, he said, I mentioned something about Octopus, and he came back with the Greek men jump off the boat for dinner line from Blue Chips 2.
Which
I
was is like, so whoa. Good. Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Do you know what you want to prepare that day?
I come up with it, but it always becomes fucking crazy.
Yeah. Like, what is it like cooking live on TV?
You have to do it in 5 minutes, talk, and be funny, and be crazy. I don't know. That's just the way I go about it. You have 5 minutes to make a splash, and I'm sure as hell going to fucking dive and belly flop right there. I always bring things to throw.
Yeah.
Like, last time I threw mad chip witches into the crowd. I pegged some old dude in the face. He had his hands like this. Went right through his hands, fucking smashed him right in the face.
So
I try and do different things that no one's going to do what I do on television. I bring fucking pizza from my corner spot. Like, yeah, I just wanted to bring this for you.
Yeah. Put it right in the oven.
Yeah, put it in, let it burn.
Yeah.
You know? Weird octopus, and who's going to do a fucking octopus?
It was amazing.
TV?
That whole
he asked me, he wants me to come on and be like a regular, but I didn't have, the schedules were too much. But
damn.
I'd love to do that at some point. Just
yeah.
Be on there a lot. I love Seth Meyers.
He's the best.
He really is a fucking cool dude. I've done everybody. I've done Fallon. I've done Kimmel. I've done fucking Rachel Ray, Wendy Williams, Geraldo.
Geraldo?
Geraldo Rivera.
You should go back to Seth the next time and bring Yvette. And make that penne.
Can't bring it that anywhere.
So when Vice got brought into the Warner family and all of a sudden you're an Atlantic artist, did you feel a change in terms of like what they wanted from you and what you felt you had to put out there?
I didn't really know how it happened that I got like kind of went from Warner to Atlantic. I don't know how that happened. I think there was a transition, like they were moving a lot of hip hop to Atlantic that was on Warner.
So it was you and Flo Rida.
Yep.
Your brother.
I fucking love him. And, but I definitely wanted to give myself a shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, I went and worked with a bunch of different people that I, you know, usually wouldn't go and work with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do love Mark Ronson, but that wouldn't be my first choice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just off the start, I don't, like, I just know, like, put a sample on. Like, I don't know, to make big music, and it ended up being a fucking blessing.
Yeah. Can you talk about hanging out at Alchemist's house? Because we've spoken to everyone from Chuck English to hip hop about, you know, Brocky Marciano, everybody, like, just hanging out there. What's your favorite part of just working at Alchemist's or hanging?
I mean, Alchemist's house was a clubhouse for a long time, you know, started like 2012. That was the real height of it from 2012. Everyone's been through there. Schoolboy, Earl, fucking every new artist, Vince Staples, everybody that you could imagine, Rocky, Yams, everyone was around. Everyone was around.
Just a good energy there?
It was an amazing energy. He has great space, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the Rock Marciano, fucking... Willie the Kid. It was like rap. It was literally rap camp. Mac Miller would come.
45 people in one house.
Watching soccer.
Yeah. No, but like competing, like trying to be the best in the fucking studio and just doing music and writing and like Damo Genesis was always around. All the younger dudes were always around trying to gather up knowledge. And
what type of stuff did you make there that we haven't heard?
We have so many songs that have never came out.
Yeah,
honestly, samples of this, just this shit that's just prisoner of the computer.
Mm-hmm. Who's somebody that you immediately felt like an instant connection with in that house, or otherwise, actually?
I love Vince. Mm-hmm. I love Vince Staples. He's just a fucking good kid. He has a lot of really, really good energy. He's a good man now. He's a lot of great energy. When I met Schoolboy, I was making fucking baby lamb chops. He never had lamb before. I gave him his first taste of
lamb.
What
an introduction.
He loved it.
Yeah.
And I fucking killed it. I fucking
oh, you killed the lamb?
Literally in front of the house. Just fucking nice charcoal. It was incredible. Mm. Yeah, it was good stuff.
Atlantic, you put out 2 or 3 projects there.
I put out Sob Stories on Atlantic, Mr. Wonderful, and Blue Chip 7000.
Yeah. How do you feel about those projects in particular?
I love Sob Stories. I just would have did a different cover.
Okay.
Mr. Wonderful is amazing. I would have did a couple things different, but I love it.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first, you know, try at doing something out of my box.
Yep.
And I fucking love Blue Chip 7000.
Yeah,
I love that album. I'm very happy with that project.
You didn't.
I just don't feel that it got the love that it should have.
Yeah.
Well, partly because nobody gave a fuck at Atlantic about it. There was no like push.
They weren't buzzing.
There was no buzz.
There was no buzz. It was like, yeah.
Did they try to take any ownership over the rest of your career?
Whenever someone's successful in other things and they're part, you know, either in partnership with someone that had nothing to do with it, of course.
Yeah.
Of course they have fucking. People definitely take credit for things that they didn't do. Like, I invented Fuck That's Delicious. People get credited for that all the time, you know, like they'll come up to management or this. Like, I don't give a fuck. Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't need to go around telling people who invented what. I just. If you don't know I'm self made, I do what I want. I do. Everything from my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Nothing comes from someone else giving it to me.
Mm-hmm. What other names did you have for Fuck That's Delicious?
That was it.
It was it?
That was it.
That's pretty
amazing. Fuck That's Delicious was the first thing that came to my mind. Actually, it was a combination. I will have to give credit to this human being, my man C. His name is just C.
All right. Mr. C.
And no, just C.
No S-E-A? Mister.
No. Like B-O-I?
Yeah.
Nah, just C. C is a very good dude. And Fuck That's Delicious was something I did in the Symbol video. I did a song with Alchemist called The Symbol. And we were doing this 70s themed video and... In one of the scenes, someone hands me a briefcase of coke. I taste it. I rub it all over my mouth. I spit. And I say, fuck, that's delicious. There it was. It was right in front of our faces.
Has Vice ever said no to you?
We got canceled, yeah. Oh. We canceled the Untitled show.
Untitled, yeah.
But I feel like it was unjustly canceled.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like it should have been. I just feel like... It's too, with a lot of things that I do, it's too progressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's too next level. They're not, the time might be next year for it.
Yeah. Well, now that Desus and Mero are, shout out to Desus and Mero.
Yeah, but they're gone, right?
Yeah.
Nah, those are good dudes, man. Mm-hmm. They came and they did their thing.
Yeah.
You know, but like, you know, this is what happens with business. You know, they come, they throw money to, they don't know exactly what they want to do, you know. They're trying to find something that sticks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then comes from up under you, and then look at it. You're
mm-hmm.
always scrambling.
Yeah.
It's got to get shit right. You know, Fuck That's Delicious should be a mainstay forever. That started, that helped start Munchies. That helped start Viceland. That's the type of show that needs to be nurtured, you know.
Do you have a key to Vice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, you know, like I'm very good friends with the owner, and mm-hmm. he's the dude who signed me. You know, he believed in me and gave me all this, you know, free space to just create weird shit. I'm forever grateful, and yeah, I would always love to work with them as long as they'd love to work with me and pay me well.
Hold that thought for 1 second. We just want to tell all you people out there about our new project, Rhymebook, which is on pre-order at Amazon.com, also at itsthereal.com/shop. Go search on Amazon.com for Rhymebook Rosenthal, and it will come right up. It is good for so many things that Eric already named earlier in the podcast, but it is also good for throwing off your roof.
You know what it's good for? It's good for letting babies chew on.
Yeah, it's good for leveling your very uneven table.
It's a very popular doorstop.
It is good for killing bugs.
It is great for sitting on a shelf.
Yeah, I mean, all these things, collecting dust, anything you want to do with this book, it is there for you. You should go get it at itsthereal.com/shop or on amazon.com. Look for Rhymebook Rosenthal.
Yeah, go support your boys. It's The Real. We've given you almost 200 episodes of this podcast for free. This helps us keep this pirate ship afloat. Let's go. Rhymebook on amazon.com. Pre-order right now. And now back to Action Bronson.
I created a calendar called Action Renaissance, where I photoshopped you into Renaissance paintings.
You did that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
People actually printed it out and used it. Yeah. Jeff spent a lot of time doing this.
Yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous how I resemble all these old figures. I even was talking to my mom about it. Like, what the fuck? She's like, yeah, I keep seeing people posting this picture from the Museum of Art in Chicago. This fucking old sailor. I'm like, it's me.
Does your mom read comments?
Hell yeah. My mother's on the internet. I was on live the other day talking mad shit. And she called me. She's like, you all right? I'm like, mom, I'm on live. She's like, yeah, I know.
Wait, so she screwed up the live stream?
She fucked it up. I said, Ma, you fucked it up. I had like 11K in there in the first minute.
Yo, you were popping.
The first minute having 11K?
Yeah, amazing. But then what was the second minute? Huh? Was the second minute like 36
I don't know.
People?
My mother fucked it up. No, I was doing commentary on the World Cup.
Mm. It was. Who were you rooting for?
I was rooting for Colombia, Switzerland, but France for sure.
You know who I was rooting for?
Tell me.
Abraham Lincoln.
You didn't give a shit.
No, I actually went and watched. I was in a bar full of Croatians, and I was rooting for France. Mm. And me and my friend, we were the only two people rooting for France. And like, it's a weird thing, because also I don't really care about soccer. So I was just like, I don't know how to celebrate.
You gotta put some money down on it. If you put money down, you would have been into it.
Just like a light 50,000.
That's what this sports betting is all about. My boy bets $50, $100 on games just to make it interesting.
Wait, just for the record, Jeff is willing to go put $50,000 on a soccer game, but only give you $26 for your bar mitzvah.
And 18 cents.
I forgot about that. I've already wiped that from my memory.
But back to the calendar thing. What's the nicest thing that anybody's ever given you? Please say the calendar.
No, that's beautiful. Yeah. That, because you spent your time doing that, and I really appreciate it.
And nothing's more valuable than time.
That's right. That's a bar.
Yeah.
You know that song by Boy George?
Which
time
one?
Won't give us time, but time makes lovers feel like they got something real. But me and you, we know we got nothing but time. And time won't give us time.
Would you say you do things for the culture or for Culture Club?
Mm.
Both.
Wow.
This is a culture club, my friend. Honestly, people, they need to be more in tune with music of yesteryear, because that's where everything starts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I fucking love Boy George. I love all types of music.
Yeah.
Shit makes me happy.
So,
what'd you ask me?
Oh, I don't know.
It was a question.
What did we ask you?
You did it before
the
I said
the culture and
Boy
culture
George.
Club thing?
I don't know.
What does doing it for the culture mean? Like that? Why do they have all these like slogans?
Yeah, it's
why
just
are
like,
there so many slogans?
You know what? People just love
Schloman Shield.
People just love saying things.
Mm-hmm. Like living my best life. Yeah. Everyone tells me I'm living my best life. Oh, Bronson's just out here living his best life.
By the way, I didn't realize that, because you guys heard Future do like the living my best life.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was a Lil Duval song.
That's amazing.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Viral. Viral.
So, wait. So, the first time that we met, first time we met Yellow Wolf, we were going to, we were interviewing him for MTV, and my first question, which he did not like,
no.
I said, all white rappers look the same. Do you ever look in the mirror and see Eminem? Mm-hmm.
By the way, well, here's what happened.
That's heavy.
Yeah. Well, because his publicist wanted him to do our thing so much. And we had been doing absurdist interviews with everyone. Stevie Wonder, like, he had no problem with us, right? So why should Yellow Wolf? Wow. And if you know, if your publicist
you
knows.
Did the Stevie Wonder interview?
Yeah. We sang with him. We did Do I Do as Jew I Jew. And he sang with us. God. It's the best. So, but if Yellow Wolf's publicist and whole team knows that, like,
they got chills.
Yeah. if the publicist knows what you're getting into, it's going to be like roasting, a fun sort of, like, you know, interview. So yeah, that was the first question.
Yeah,
that
he asked.
He's not that type of dude.
Oh no, he threatened to punch us in the face. Yeah,
yeah, he said, "Don't ever try to hustle a hustler." And I was like, "I would never try."
I love that.
By the way, the second it's good that he threatened to punch us and then left, like quit the interview, because if we went on, I was going to, my next question was going to be, last year you signed to Eminem's Shady Records. Did you ever seriously consider signing to Bad Boy, since you have the same haircut as Cassie, right?
Oh my God.
Like, but we thought that he knew who we were, and he did not. Right. And so, like, it just, like, the it went off the rails, like, very quick.
We ran into Bun B on the street that night, and we told him the story. He was like, yeah, like, you, number one, you know he doesn't have a great sense of humor. Number two, you guys have very punchable faces, so it's fine. We're like, yeah.
But I was going to ask...
I got a lot of knives around me.
Yeah, do you ever look in the mirror and say Eminem? No. Do you... When you first met, like, Mac Miller, when you first met, like, these other guys, did they feel... Was the energy, like, cool, or was it, like, we're all in the same space?
Because, you know, there's that, like, idea where it's just... It's like
white rappers can't,
like, there could only be one, right? Like...
Yeah, nah, I don't... First off... I don't think of myself as a white rapper.
No, I'm sorry. A white power rapper.
Holy shit.
That's doing it for a different culture. Yeah.
Not a good one. Nah, honestly, I feel like this. I look different than everybody. I don't give a fuck about looks or this and that. Mm-hmm. White rapper this. Well, I don't ever want to be considered in that conversation. Don't put me in a white rapper conversation. Just a rapper.
Yeah.
Because I'm not spitting these weirdo white bars like white rappers do.
Right.
You don't like stand by like the keg and just like start.
I like that too. I fuck with it, but you got to put it in a way that's not corny.
Just name a word. I'll freestyle off it. Just name a word. All right.
Jeroboam.
Yo, Jeroboam, you know?
Yeah, I want to fucking throw you to the wall.
Last year or so, we follow you on Twitter, you follow us. We saw you retweet Lenny Dykstra.
Oh, yes.
Nails.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what you said. You said nails. Like, he has some, or he said that he was going to meet you in LA the next time.
Yeah, you guys
would go get food.
Chicken parm.
Yeah, and all you responded with was nails, which we thought was great. And then, but you saw it like in the middle of the night and responded.
Yeah, and so I like injected myself into this conversation and I said, like, this is amazing or something. And then Lenny invited us.
So, number one.
We out. Let's go.
Number one.
We are all going with Lenny Dykstra to a car wash.
How do you know Lenny Dykstra? Does he know that you're not a Mets fan?
I love Lenny Dykstra, though.
Does he know what you did at Citi Field?
He'd fucking be proud.
He would be proud.
He'd be very proud.
I guarantee that he definitely like tasted Coke and then went, fuck, that's delicious.
I'm sure a lot of people have.
So
I guarantee it.
How did you find your guys, like, I don't know, talking?
I have no idea. I'm just as baffled as you were. I don't know. I must have said something about Dykstra. Or Dykstra with the... I remember what I said. I said on some interview that I want to be a mogul like Dykstra with the car washes. And I think that he just felt like... He was like, yeah.
We're one
in
the same.
He was probably like, fuck, man. We got to go have chicken parm. And then he invited you guys. Yeah. He was like, okay.
Yeah.
He felt the energy.
You were watching like
Lock Up Raw.
So you're off Atlantic Records now.
I love Lock Up Raw, by the way. Lockdown, Lock Up.
Anything?
Just on MSNBC.
Late night MSNBC.
Yeah. Oh, it's bad.
You went from CNN as a child to watching MSNBC.
MSNBC, yeah.
So you're off.
Stock talk.
You're off Atlantic now.
I am.
You have a new project that you're working on right now.
White Bronco.
Which, amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing.
That's also my DJ name.
White Bronco? Yeah.
I had to switch it up. I don't want to be under the moniker Action Bronson to DJ.
No, sure.
Because I want people to come that are like, they don't know what's up. I'm just White Bronco.
How weird is that when they show up and you're there?
How weird is it that I had a fucking beer party and everyone, I thought it was a party for the thing, for the beer.
The beer, yeah.
And it ended up being me DJing for 4 hours in front of a crowd.
It's the greatest thing ever.
It was so fucking weird. I love it.
You should do that all the time. You should be like, yo,
who DJs for, party. Who could DJ for 4 hours? I've never seen any of these guys DJ 4 hours.
Questlove.
Yeah, yes. I've never done it before. Questlove. How do I go from nothing to 4 hours?
What separates you from all the other DJs?
Do you just play the same song over and over and
over? No, I have no Serato. Mm-hmm. I just play everything that I have directly off iTunes. Mm-hmm. And it's all 70s.
It's all Menudo.
It's all 70s Turkish, African, Nigerian weirdo funk music.
Does Alchemist respect the way that you DJ?
Oh, he wishes. Oh, man, let me tell you a story. So we're in a fucking, we're at a show. I'm like, yo, bro, do a 10-minute DJ set. Show him your skills, you know?
It's the most condescending. Yeah, go do what you do. Yeah, do your little tricks. Yeah.
You know how we joke. Go show him your little tricks out there. And he made this big deal. He's like, nah, what the fuck, man? Just play the music. Just like, fuck it, all right. So I ended the set short. It's like, get out of here. And I just fucking went on stage and started going and just played this crazy African song. And everyone was looking at each other. They just started jumping up. It was a 10-minute set of fucking, of dreams.
Oh, my God.
Dreams are made of that 10-minute set that I did that day. I'm not even sure where it was.
It happened, though.
It happened.
What made you shave your beard? Sorry, I didn't mean to get too deep.
It was a fucking, you know, did you ever try and shave your own face?
Do I, me? No. Why would I have shaved my own face?
I'm saying,
Jeff
like,
has changed.
All right, so say you had a style in which you, like, a goatee that you've been rocking for a while. Mm-hmm. You went to go shape it up. You fucked it up. What are you going to do now? You got to shave it all off.
Or wear a beard wig.
I didn't have the beard wig. I always keep an emergency yarmulke, but I don't have a beard wig. So I ended up doing, I don't even know why I started here. You know, like you start here. Mm-hmm. I started here with a number 2. What the fuck am I doing?
You went too far.
Fucking over. So I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I was fucking blasted 6 a.m. I already hit that about 10 times because I'd woken up at 4:30.
That's too early.
Way too early.
Wait, it's too early for wax?
No, that's just early.
Yeah, sure.
In general.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that was really, that's really the story.
But you kept the mustache, though.
It was a weird thing.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't just have a weird, clean face.
Right.
I needed the mustache. I thought that it would take away from my chin.
See, I thought maybe you would have shaved your beard, kept the mustache for when you went to Yankee Stadium because of their whole, you know,
rule. I ended up, that was my little fallback.
You did it too late.
That was my fallback. Yeah, I did it for Yankee Stadium, man, for a softball game.
Did anybody say, what were the comments like?
Not nice.
On the internet?
On the internet, some people liked it, some people hated it.
Did you think about doing like a goatee?
The problem is, when you have a clean face and you're fat, mm-hmm. people take lots of pictures of me when I'm not looking. Mm-hmm. So I'm like this, I'm like, yeah. And you just see my face. I'm like, fuck, where did this one come from? Get this shit out of here. It's bad.
By the way, as a tall person, I was talking about this the other day, how I think I'm in the back of like so many different pictures, mm-hmm. just like looking.
Just chilling, yeah.
It's just like a horrible thing to think about. Anyway.
What do you consider yourself? Do you consider yourself just a rapper who does other things, or do you consider yourself...
A white rapper who does a lot of things.
You made me fucking dry heave. I consider myself a Renaissance man.
Because of Jeff's...
because of his poster.
Calendar?
Yeah.
His poster. Because of his drawings. I feel like I could do anything.
Yeah.
But anything that I like, anything that inspires me, I feel like I could do.
You were inspired to get to second base after you hit that
there's
dribbler
no
off
fucking,
the middle.
There's
oh, I
no
thought
doubt.
You were inspired to get to second base after Yvette tasted your pennant.
I wasn't trying to go there. I was trying to go to fucking... I was trying to hit a homer, a grand slam.
Starts with a penne.
You called your friends?
Salami. Oh, my God.
No, shouts to Yvette.
No, but at that time, we definitely knew fucking... There was definitely sex orgies going down in junior high school.
Oh, mm-hmm. You took health class?
Yeah. No, there was sexual orgies going on in school. Third floor shit. Yeah. Basement and third floor. Yo, the top and the bottom. Nothing goes on in the middle.
No, just social studies.
Spanish class. French.
Wait, how many languages do you know?
I know parts of like 25.
Do it. Do it right now. Make it like a YouTube video.
Do it. Do it. What do you do it? You know, growing up in New York, you just, you know, a little bit of Indian words. You know, mm-hmm. You don't call somebody fat because you've been called fat. Mm-hmm. You know, I know how to curse in a lot of languages.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Your tattoo. Amazing. The one in the back of your head.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that. Yeah. I'm tatted up heavily at this point.
Yes. Are you done?
Nah, you're never done.
Are you addicted to it?
I'd say so.
Yeah?
I'd say so. Nah, but addiction means that you, like, need it every day. Mm-hmm. I can't take that fucking pain every day, but I know how much it hurts, and I go, I'm a masochist. Is that the proper word?
Sure.
The one who likes,
that's what you want.
Who's a fucking slut for pain.
Yeah.
That's like keeps going back for it.
Yo, so you tore your meniscus on purpose?
Yeah. No, I was fucking hanging from the chandelier from my neck, and I was getting beat with a belt, you know? And I just tore it. Yeah. And then Dikembe Mutombo came out of nowhere and fucking blocked me.
Have you met any of the NBA players that you've shouted out?
Absolutely.
How is that?
I met Magic Johnson.
That's dope.
One of the most incredible men. He told me to keep doing my thing.
And
he sees me.
Did you follow his advice?
100%. You know I've been doing my thing.
Yep.
I met a lot of fucking UFC fighters. A lot of... I just love sports, man. I never fan out for anything other than sports figures.
Hmm.
I really fan out. Like, when I met Jeter, I was nervous.
Yeah.
I was fucking shook when I met him.
How'd it go?
It went great. He was really a...
Was he still a Yankee, or was he the owner of the Marlins?
No, he was a Yankee.
Okay. Is he always a Yankee? A Yankee forever?
What else is he? That's all he is.
A friend.
Yeah, he's a friend. He's a colleague.
By the way, I was not nervous for Jay-Z. I was not nervous for Stevie Wonder. Mm-hmm. I was incredibly nervous for Cash Out.
Do you remember Cash Out? Had the song Cashin' Out.
From the album Cash Out?
Yeah. This is true. This is not in your DJ sets?
I think I do remember that.
Yeah.
I think I do. You were nervous for Cash Out.
So unbelievably nervous.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Well, shit happens like that sometimes. Yeah. You know, it's like crazy.
Thanks. Wait. Okay, so One Train, the song, with our friend Yellow Wolf. What is your experiences? Tell me about your times on the One Train.
Because
you were more of like an NQR7.
I'm an E7F. I'm an EF.
Sounds like bingo.
ACE.
This is just scintillating conversation.
Originally, my verse went right after Kendrick's. They moved my verse, and they moved the timing of the verse, so I was very unhappy with that.
Yeah.
So that's my take on it. I still love the song. But
great song.
I know that my timing is terrible on the song because it's off. Mm-hmm. They moved it.
Originally, though, sounded great.
It still sounds good now, but it's off.
Yeah.
It's off a touch.
Do you think they moved it because they hate you?
They don't hate me, no. They don't hate me. They don't like me, but they don't hate me. Nah.
Because you can't unhustle a hustler.
Yeah.
Right, listen.
It was a hottie.
Skamati verse.
A lot of people were buzzing.
What's the most label-ish thing that Atlantic tried to make you do?
That's a good question.
Just fucking work with their people and end up spending my budget on their on, you know, just filling friends' pockets. I think maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I'm a conspiracist.
No, this
whatever
is true.
It's called.
Yeah.
What is a conspiracy theory that you subscribe to?
Nah, I don't know. I don't know.
It's too deep.
Nah, I'm a big. proponent for the aliens.
Sure.
For ancient alienism.
Shout out to your show.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that that's, I think it's a more widespread general consensus nowadays that we know that there's some fucking, like, it's retarded to think that we're the only things that are ever existed in this universe. And
yeah, ever since you saw existing. Men in Black, you were convinced?
Are you kidding me?
Sorry,
the fucking
Men in
guy?
Black 2.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Men
the
Black
guy that came out of the fucking thing. Yeah, yeah. That guy freaked me out. I loved Independence Day.
Great movie.
Blew my mind.
Yeah.
I love Terminator 2.
Great movie.
Hell yeah. You know what else I like? The Program.
Strong movie.
One of my favorites.
Wildcats.
I mean, that's a fucking given. Wildcats, if you haven't seen that, go out now and watch it at the theater.
We haven't seen it.
Yeah. So we are inviting you to our Two Jews and Two Black Dudes Review the Movies, also with Jadakiss. So it's really Two Jews and Three Black Dudes Review the Movies.
Now it's going to be...
But that's what I'm saying. It's the whole locks. There's three of them.
Well, yeah, but...
Well,
but
Jadakiss only shows up sometimes.
So Sheik shows up and then
and
Styles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so it'd be Two Jews, Two Black Dudes, Jadakiss,
and
Action Bronson.
Yeah.
Review the movies. Wildcats. Goldie Hawn.
I mean, million views. Million hits. 1 million.
That's what we do it for.
Yeah.
For the 1 million hits.
Well, you are in an upcoming movie.
Mm-hmm.
You've done TV.
Wait, what movie? Is this known?
Yeah. It's
yeah.
Known. Is that it?
What? It's with Scorsese, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I do know that.
I did a little cameo in, what's the fucking movie called with the workaholics? Something bro, man.
I don't know.
Game Over, Man.
Oh, is that really what it is?
It is. All Game right. Over. It's a good fucking movie. It was surprisingly really good.
All right.
I thought it was going to be a little weird, but it's like...
That's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Made a little thing in there. It was fun. I like doing movies.
Yeah, so movies, you got your second book coming out.
So I got the letter over there from Robert De Niro.
So that's
oh,
real.
Oh, shit.
What do you think? I wrote it myself.
No, I didn't read it.
It's inspiring.
I'm not like...
I saw it before.
It says, all the best. Maybe I'll buy my casket from you.
Bob.
Bob De Niro.
On Did a you call him Bob?
That's what he gets called. They don't call him Robert. Scorsese's calling him Bob.
Everyone, I call him
everyone
Dad.
Calls him Bob.
Mr. De Niro.
Yeah.
RD. Like, whatever.
So what did that come on?
That's a post-it.
Yep.
What do you mean, what did that come on?
You mean
on
that
the
was delivered
of?
To you?
No, not
what was that?
Come on
what
the
did that
back
come on
of?
The back of?
On a donkey?
Yeah. No, I mean...
That comes off the heels of a great performance by me and him.
That was attached to something. He didn't just hand you a post-it note.
Yeah, he did. Nah, it was attached to the back of the director's chair that they gave me signed with my name on it.
Did you get to take that home?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's awesome.
It says Action Bronson on the back, and it has the Irishman movie, and they signed it. I wrote some nice things.
How did you know you wanted to be credited as Action Bronson and not your given name?
I felt like they wouldn't know with the regular name.
Right.
That's a good fucking question. I didn't even think about that, to tell you the truth.
These are all good questions.
Well,
this is
a good
questions
conversation.
Podcast.
Yeah. It's a good questionnaire.
If you met The Rock, would you call him Dwayne or The Rock? Or
I'd
Action
call him
Bronson?
The Rock. What's up, Rock? 100% I call him The
Have
Rock.
Have you met him?
No, but he's written to me on Twitter, too.
Really?
Saying that he loved my song from Blue Chips 1 in the city. Oh, no, Blue Chips 2.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he tweeted he's listening to In the City right now.
By at Action Bronson.
Yeah, I'm loving it, bro. Da da da. And fucking, I'm in the gym.
Who follows you on Twitter that's like strange to you? Like you're just like, really? This person follows me?
Yeah, we have.
I don't
we
know
have
who
Anthony
follows
Scaramucci.
Me. He follows me fucking too.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that weird?
He follows me on Twitter.
It's so weird. Yeah.
How did that, like, especially when all that crazy shit was happening?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're just like
why
that
the
guy.
Fuck?
Yeah.
It was really
weird.
Well,
you look him up and it's just like, he follows you. It's like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Somebody told me that he follows me.
Oh.
Like, someone tweeted
Anthony
me, like,
Scaramucci?
Was it The Rock?
Nah, it was The Rock. It was like, yo, bro.
Yo, I'm in the gym. And by the way,
I don't know who follows me. I know Diddy follows me.
That's dope.
That's big.
Are you a Ciroc boy?
I'm not.
No, well, don't
you...
tell him.
I'm a Black Bottle boy.
Oh,
are you really?
I could have been.
Yeah, but you.
Shouts to Rose.
Have you met him?
Who, Ross?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, because when you. collaborated, you just sent him the verse.
Yeah, but I met him prior in London.
That's dope.
At his show. I went to his show at the nursing home.
Yeah. No, we have to take that out. Sorry. Do that again.
What's that?
I just don't want it to come across like I'm calling him old for some reason.
Oh, yeah, no. Right. Nah, you're not. You.
I cleaned it up. I cleaned it up, okay?
You met him at Roundhouse. It was a sold-out show.
Yeah. So, okay. Movies, TV, books, music.
Do you have a liqueur?
No, he has a beer.
I have wine. I have beer. I just do things that I like.
What else are you liking right now?
Hash. I mean, I love hash.
Is that business for you?
No, I don't do any business with hash, but I just I feel like we're gonna do a little specialty blend when my new book comes out.
That's you awesome. And Bobby Brown.
No, I'm gonna actually hire Bobby Brown to be at the party.
You, that would be amazing.
I'd love him to come sing.
That'd be dope. I thought you were gonna say that you wanted him to dance.
I want him to dance and sing, but I want him to also chill
and cook, maybe. Yeah.
I want him to just hang out.
You want him to do all the things.
Yeah. Everything that we do.
Yeah.
Hopscotch.
What else have we forgotten? Anything?
I mean, shit. Fucking go on for years.
Well,
what else you want to say?
What else do I want to say? Big fan. Yeah. Love what you do.
Jeff would tweet you, but you know. Yeah.
Much love. We are. Yo, well, I really appreciate you, man.
What have you said no to?
In what sense?
Like, okay, so your neighbor comes to you and says, I want to do a beer with you. You do a beer. You get an opportunity to write a book. Makes sense. You write a book. You're on TV. What is like something that came your way that you were like, you know what? That doesn't make sense for me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's actually crazy how many things you actually turn down.
There's power in no.
But you turn down things that you might not turn down in a different position. Like, if you go back and see all the things you've turned down and what type of money you've left on the table, it could hurt, you know, but you have to make decisions sometimes where it's not even about the money. It's not about anything. It's about progressing and just doing things you want to do. Fuck it. Not all money is good money.
It's not about your $26.13, Jeff. Or 18 cents. Yeah, sorry. So,
and I do think that it is.
I feel good about this.
I feel good too.
Yeah. Shout out to Lenny Dykstra.
Yeah, shout out to Lenny Dykstra.
Yeah, for sure.
You got the building buzzing, so.
Building is buzzing, my friend. You can see the electricity around us. All the fractals. Look in the corners. Fractaled out.
Well, congratulations on everything.
And you guys, too.
Thanks so much for having us over.
That Stevie Wonder thing blew my mind.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of A Waste of Time with It's The Real Jeff. If people want to find out more about us, I'm Eric. You are Jeff. Happy birthday to you and our brother Dan.
Thank you.
If anyone wants to find out more about this podcast, it's called A Waste of Time with It's The Real. If people want to find out more about what we got going on in life, in business, in the internet, where can they go?
You can always go to itsthereal.com, itsthereal.com, no apostrophes, no spaces. If you want to buy some merch, if you want to buy our rhyme book, go to itsthereal.com/shop.
Yeah.
Everything is available at itsthereal.com.
Yeah.
That's a bar.
Yeah.
Everything is available at itsthereal.com/shop. If you want to find our podcast, go to soundcloud.com/awasteoftime or go and listen to all the old episodes, all the new ones, which are also available on iTunes. Search for A Waste of Time with It's The Real. Again, It's The Real is all one word, no apostrophes, no spaces. If you want to listen to our music, go to Teddy Bear Fresh on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play.
Audio Mac, Tidal, wherever.
Amazon,
everywhere.
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
Any place, it's there. If you want us to scream it at you on the street, we can do that too.
That is very possible.
If you want to follow us on Instagram, it is at It's The Real. We are also at It's The Real on Twitter, and we don't use any other social media. I am on Fortnite, and I'm killing it over there. Literally. And I am It's The Real on that.
Wow. Not wait, It's The Real was taken on Fortnite?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, people are trying to...
Wait, find that person and kill them and become them.
Oh, how do I do that?
Right?
Someone tell me how to do that and I'll do it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, great. Jeff, we know that this podcast, which is almost 200 episodes old, is only successful because you guys have been there to big us up and spread the word to friends, family, fans, and fanatics out there. So we want you to keep it up, and we appreciate you so much for appreciating us, and we want to show our appreciation by shouting you out. So Jeff, Who do you want to shout out?
I want to shout out a guy I ran into on the street.
Yeah.
Who played it real casual. Real cool. And then as soon as I pass by him, he goes, "It's the real." So I want to shout out Chino the Nobody, who saw us actually perform at a Vibe showcase last year.
At Gramercy.
At Gramercy Theater. Right. Shout out to Chino the Nobody, who was on his day job, but also is a rapper.
Okay.
And
does he go by Chino the Nobody as his rap name?
He does.
Okay. Shout out to him.
And he is also friends with Spanish Ran over at Rock Nation.
Shout out to Randy over there.
Yeah. So,
Jeff, I want to shout out two guys and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And a pizza place. Two guys who showed up at your birthday party this weekend. They drove up all the way from Pennsylvania.
The Poconos
in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Shout out to our guys over there at the Officially Street Podcast, Sayir and J Omega, and especially Jeff. Whatever. We can shout them out, and that's all well and good. Thanks. Yeah. Them for coming.
Well, I do want to say before we get into that, so we know these guys, they're really good guys.
Yes.
They drove up from the Poconos and they were like, "We're not going to show up to your birthday without a gift."
Yeah.
But they said any gift that we get you is not going to be like, "You guys don't drink, you guys don't smoke."
Right.
Damn, we don't drink or smoke.
Yeah.
And they were like, "Well, and what are we going to get you that's going to like impress them?"
Cash money.
Well, yeah. I said diamonds.
No, look.
But
all ideas are good, right?
Yeah. Let's just keep rolling. And then they were like, "But you know what everybody loves?
Cash money and diamonds."
Yeah, but they also said that everybody loves socks.
You know
so
what?
They gave us black socks and white socks. So
equal opportunity socks, guys.
I said that I would get the black ones because I work in the black industry. And Dan can get the white ones. And then Dan goes, "I don't wear black socks anyway." So
happy birthday to you guys.
Yeah.
And what a nice gesture from our friends, J Omega and Sayir.
Yeah.
Here's, though, Jeff, the best part of that story. They did show up at your birthday party with Jay's wife, Kiwana, and their infant daughter at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And when the bar said, "Hey, we're not serving anyone under 21.
Yeah.
Kiwana won the day by saying, "You know what, Jay? You stay here, and I'm going to take our infant daughter and get the hell out of here and drive back home. Sayir, you guys carpool, take Jay home." Yeah. How nice was that?
It was just a really supportive gesture, so shout out to her. Like,
big shouts to Kiwana. Hope you're listening. Hope you are a fan, and you don't hate us for having borrowed your husband and your baby's father
and their socks
which
are now my socks.
That's right. But really, that was the nicest gesture for you to let Jay hang out, and we had a great time. It was really nice to see those guys.
Yes.
So, listen, guys, we appreciate you all for all the messages, for all the support, and especially everyone who goes to Amazon.com and pre-orders Rhymebook right now. Please go on social media and let us know that you did that. That's the best part of all of this, because we love that you guys are so supportive. Shout out to everyone who's listening. Shout out to everyone who's wishing Jeff a happy birthday and Dan a happy birthday. As always, guys, not for real, for real.
Sure, sure.
See you guys next week.
Oh, wait, we should have shouted out Dan.
Happy birthday, Dan.
Well, and me.
And you.
Yeah.